wonderful and high level that you place on church membership. That's very, very beautiful, very powerful. And Shirley, one artist to another, good on you, bless you. To honour each other's giftings is a fantastic thing. And the third out of fourth thing that really got me this morning was seeing how we sang about people being brought in from the outside into God's family. And we don't think too much about that maybe, but when you are outside and you're being brought in, it's a very, very powerful thing. And the last thing that got me was just before the honouring of all people groups right across this world that we live in. Every tribe, nation and tongue being wooed into the kingdom of God. My goodness, how good is that? Hey, can you spend a minute just talking to the person next to you or dreaming in your own mind about a time when you were abandoned and then you got rescued? Whatever that looks like. Give it a go for 1 minute. Stories about tramping trips gone wrong and fishing trips gone wrong and stuff just gone wrong and having to be rescued. Kind of fun to look back on now, horrendous at the time. That's what I want to speak about today. We'll get to that in a minute. But thank you so much for the opportunity of being with you today and speaking. Christine and I have a real connection with your church. I look back to Ed Carlson, who was your pastor back in the day, who was the chair of Canterbury Wesleyan Baptist Association when I was part of the team. And I think of Margaret McFedries, who was our honoured administrator. She kept us orderly and did a beautiful job of that. Donna Reed, I think she was your children and family worker here in the church, administrator too, who was our regional children and family worker. And the legendary Mike Dodge and Tess, and Mike is now on my staff team. And so I have this kind of ongoing thing going along. And Philip, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this to you, but you organised a World Vision Day about in the last year, and that was instrumental in the trajectory of our daughter having got her master's and the work she's now involved in. Just these kind of, these very strong connections that Christine and I have had with your church, and we're really grateful to you. So it's a flash thing to be able to be here today. Bit of context, married to Christine, we have four children and four grandchildren that we were going to visit one of them last week in Auckland, but we all know what happened to that. Christine is the arts coordinator at the Lincoln High School, and I'm the regional leader for Canterbury Westland. Now my role, and I'm only going to speak a tinsy bit about it because I think it would bore you to tears if I kind of went on and on about it, but I've boiled it down just to three words: to build, to assist, and to communicate. My role that I was given was to build a team, to assist the churches in our region with being authentic, thriving communities of faith, as you, as the local church, go out and communicate the gospel to people in our wider community. And this work covers the 15 churches, Baptist churches, in Christchurch itself, and 12 outside of Christchurch, from Greymouth to Rangiora and down to Oamaru. It's a 0.8 role. I love my little 0.2. With so many meetings. Hands up those of you who feel like some days you just have so many meetings. Yeah, okay, there's a few of you that can identify with that. I have the Canterbury Wesleyan Baptist Association board meeting. I have my staff meeting with Mike and Rachel. My RL team meeting. Weekly Zoom meetings. I see somebody yawning. I totally empathise with Charles and the other RLs. My groups of pastors and elders meetings. As well as spooky meetings with other bishops and denominational leaders in our city. And Christy and I, because we can't make up our minds, we're part of two home groups and other various meetings from time to time. Out of those meetings, good things seem to happen. And that's why we get amongst it. I think of Darfield Baptist just a couple of weeks ago, where James Fotheringham and his wife were welcomed in as the pastors to the church. And that came about through conversations amongst regional leaders in our nation. I think of Greymouth Baptist that got themselves in a pickle about 5 years ago financially, and through the work of Opawa Baptist with Rod, there as the pastor, and Christian Savings and others, they're in a very, very good place now financially. They have a pastor that's a wonderful pastor doing good work there. So Kerry Baptist was all part of that. Fantastic. Rickerton Baptist, the teamwork with St. Albans Baptist, then an associate pastor going across and being the interim pastor of Rickerton Baptist Church. Breezes Road, Parklands Baptist Church, ODBC and Linwood Baptist, all working together, collaborating together to bring the church to a point where their building could be completed and they're ready to hire a pastor to build a team to work right across the east side of Christchurch in helping people to become followers of Jesus. Temuka Baptist. Now these are like, those two last churches had like 7 or 12 or 14 people in them. They're right on the edge, right on the edge. Couldn't go it alone anymore. Temuka Baptist, Glenity Baptist, Timaru Baptist, Covenant Grace Baptist Church, working together to bring a new birth of that church. Pretty cool, I think. I wonder, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you as a church, as you work church to church in collaboration in building the kingdom of God? I wonder. It's a curiosity I have, and I'm sure you have that same curiosity, Elliot. I find it a great privilege, though somewhat tiresome at times, to be part of spurring each other on to love and good deeds, as the Bible puts it. It is something that spurring on is maybe not so Kiwi, maybe, you could talk about that, because we kind of hold back a little bit. But it is deeply biblical, something that I believe every one of us is called to. And that's what I want us to look at today. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And while you're getting your Bibles out, it may come up on the screen soon, a bit of context here. The Hebrew audience began to doubt. It's not a nice feeling having doubts, eh? Began to doubt if Jesus could really be their Messiah, because they believed that the Messiah would come as a militant king and destroy their enemies. However, Jesus came as a baby, turned into a man, but was arrested by the Jewish leaders, crucified by the Romans. After his resurrection, he left the earth and his people. The people now face persecution rather than victory. Now, from that kind of a viewpoint of doubt, troubling times, don't you think? The book of Hebrews speaks into this by showing the scriptures foretold that this Messiah would be a priest, and Jesus came to fulfill that role of sacrifice for our sins. His fullness of his kingship was yet to come, and he left the Holy Spirit with us to help us. And so the message is, come on now, church, be patient. It's going to be okay. Don't abandon meeting together. Better still, spur each other on to love and good deeds when you do meet together. So Hebrews reminds us, and I reckon we need this kind of a reminder, when life gets a bit difficult, when it gets uncertain, when doubt kind of creeps in. Now, it may be for us today, climate change, that would do it. Referendums, if you've been diving in and hearing the twos and fros, my goodness, complex, complex, complex. It might be actually your faith with Jesus. I thought Jesus would be this, but now it looks like he is that, or actually I'm not sure. It may be the October elections. Who are you all voting for? Difficult, right? It may be COVID-19 and the endless loop that we are in world news and local news. We must spur each other on as the Holy Spirit leads, not to give up our faith, not to abandon each other, but to persevere and to do good. Hebrews 10:24. You may want to close your eyes, or you can, because it's going to be on the screen the whole time, but kind of catch the heart of these words. Here we go. Let us consider. Let us consider. Consider how we may spur each other on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Okay, you can open your eyes if you happen to close them. Look at the verses on the screen. Look at them on your Bible in front of you. Was there a phrase that kind of jumped out at you? For me, that's just kind of my routine. I look at Scripture and I'm looking for the words that pop. And I go, ooh, what does that word or that phrase mean? And invariably what I then do is dive into Bible Hub and I look up the Greek of it, because it's real easy through Bible Hub. And I start to dismantle the word and go, oh my goodness, look at that. For me, the word spur jumped out. It comes from two words. One of the words means close alongside. So if you were to snuggle up to each other, that would be half of spur right there. And the other word is with a sharp cutting edge. So if you happen to get a ballpoint pen out of your pocket and go to the person next to you and you put it with the actual nib showing out, because then it's sharp, and you go, jab. That would be to spur each other on. Close alongside. So that's the picture. Oh my goodness. Spurring each other on then in this text is kind of more provocative, slightly painful at times, than it is passive or pretty. It makes me think of the wedding verse that Christine and I had. As iron sharpens iron, tells you our relationship, so one person sharpens another. There's something beautiful about being sharp and useful in the kingdom of God, and it only comes through the sharpening. I had my birthday recently, and I bought a Lansky sharpener with its various ones from about 120 grit right through to 1,000 grit. We've got 17 knives on our kitchen wall because we like cooking and stuff. And so I have them all like real sharp, as I have to warn people when they come into our kitchen and do cooking. Spur each other on, sit close beside and give each other a little poke, a little jab. Hey, how about this? Better to think like that when we meet together than to either thoughtlessly or thoughtfully abandon each other. January 25th, 1998. Now, some of you may remember this. I remember when it came over the news. I couldn't believe it. A group of divers, maybe because I was snorkeling at the time, that might have been it. A group of divers met together and were skippered out to the reef in the Coral Sea off Australia's northeast coast. How many of you know what I'm about to say? Okay, might jog your memory a bit in a minute. The skipper and group left two tourists behind, abandoned on the reef. Do you remember this, anybody? Utterly horrendous. The divers, their diver's slate, which you have underwater, it's this underwater stuff you write on, was later recovered, and on it was written, "To anyone who can help us. We have been abandoned on the Aegean Court Reef by MV Outer Edge, 25 Jan 1998, 3 p.m. Please help to rescue us before we die. Help!" Exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. They were never found. Hebrews chapter 10 foresees the devastation of abandonment, warns us that abandoning people once can develop into a habit of abandoning people often. We can develop a habit of the three parts of that word in the Greek, of leaving, in, and down. Of leaving people in a down state. No fun for the people being abandoned. That habit undoes the work of the kingdom. And I think it's pretty hard, if not almost impossible, to be spurred on to love and good deeds all by yourself when you have this tremendous feeling of being abandoned. But it is a beautiful thing to be inside your heart spurred on to love and good deeds. I was speaking to a homeowner 8 days ago who said someone had just kicked in her door when she was out. I was speaking to a solo dad 7 days ago who said he's trying to give up drinking for the sake of his daughter. I was speaking to a businessman that was 7 days ago and 6 days ago who sold his business, big business, and now said he just felt like sitting in a couch for 5.5 months. I was talking to a couple 5 days ago who could no longer see a future for themselves together. And that evening I spoke to a man who hated his job, detested it. The need for love and good deeds is everywhere we look, if we look. And that's why we need to meet together. And that's why I love seeing a high view of membership and of gathering in everybody's giftings. Very, very beautiful. Very beautiful. As followers of Jesus, we are to encourage each other, to spur each other on. Kind of, I think in the Kiwi thing, we're okay about sort of sitting next to each other in home group or wherever, but getting out your big ballpoint pen and going, reet, reet. Not so sure about that. In our culture, we tend to hold off. And it may be that the Holy Spirit is just giving you a bit of a nudge. Hey, can you please encourage Bob or Steve or John or whoever to do this? Maybe Shirley could do this with that gifting. Maybe Malcolm could bust it out and do that. Maybe this, maybe that. But we go, because we're a bit nervous, it's a bit cheeky. The Holy Spirit says, be cheeky for Jesus. Consider that. Consider it. But there's a cost to all this. And here is my COVIDic confession. I like roasting coffee and making my ever-changing blend. I like making my own bullets and hunting in the Kaikouras. I like fishing at the Rakaia mouth. I like shutting our gate, which I made, and painting and sculpting and fixing things. I like doing a lot of things at home, by myself, and sometimes I just like doing nothing. Part of me, particularly at this time, would be very happy to abandon the various groups that I'm part of and personally lock down. Not meet together, but just do kind of cool stuff all by myself at home. Now, I don't know if you're shocked by that, whether you can go, yeah, there's a wee part of me that's similar. Not sure, but that is my confession. And so this brings me to my third phrase this morning. This is not a work harder, do more text. This is not law. This is the beauty of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. This is the work of grace. It is kalos, the good deeds we are to provoke each other to. Deeds that are an outward beauty that speak of an inward goodness. It's a beautiful thing to see a person's face light up when they receive the grace of God. Deeds that come from love and forge a noble character. Deeds that help others to embrace what is praiseworthy. Deeds that bring well-being, that reflect the nature of Jesus our King, and draw people, woo people into the kingdom of God by God's Spirit amongst us. This is not a work harder, do more text. Thank goodness. Now, as much as I love reading a wave at the Kaikoura Rakaia mouth or dialing in a minute of angle at the Kaikoura Ranges, if I just do my cool stuff for me, the homeowner, the businessman, the solo dad, the troubled couple, the job-hating man may never get to experience firsthand in a very human way the love of God that day. That's why we need to spur each other on, out of wholeness, leading others to wholeness. I do struggle with my own selfishness, but it is a good struggle, and that's why I need others to spur me on. Now, part of me wanted to finish making a table in the shed, but I made the homeowner, who had the door kicked in, a short black, and we picked her some daffodils from our garden. I was motivated by the concealed trauma that I could see behind her eyes. I think that's the work of the Holy Spirit there. Part of me wanted to eat my treat, my pie in peace, that Christine didn't know I'd gone down and bought. It's a treat, right? But I held on to my pie gone cold, being the spiritual man that I am, sat and listened to the businessman on the footpath for half an hour as he poured his soul out. Because I could see in his eyes, it was like looking into an empty parking lot, this huge emptiness now that he'd stopped his business. Part of me wanted to drop in on a friend who had a birthday present for me. Still haven't picked it up. But I sat at the table over time with the couple and gently encouraged them back onto the land of common ground and kindness because they were ripping each other to shreds. Part of me just wanted to accept his brushing aside when I offered to pray for him about the job he hated. But I prayed for him anyway. The need for love and good deeds is everywhere we go. Now, maybe it's easier for some, but for me, it just kind of has this inward struggle, this cost that I always find, and I need encouragement to get in amongst it. And that's where the prodding, the big pen, comes in handy from my friends. So let us consider, really consider, when we're meeting together, Consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, this was the pattern of the early church in Acts. I went through, I thought, well, okay, I read that, but what did it look like? And so I roughed it through from chapter 1 to chapter 28, and I found, as I wrote down, there are 60 people, there's probably more, written in the chapters of Acts. And they have direct references to meeting house to house, town to town, city to city. That's a whole lot of people meeting with other people. Interesting, eh? They spurred each other on. So what does it look like? They prayed together. I wrote a list. They gave land. It's a biggie, eh? They had communion, preached, taught, ate, baptized, worshipped, sent financial help, gave gifts, opened homes, fasted, laid hands on each other. We did that this morning. Traveled, risked their lives, communicated the apostles' decisions, rescued, cried, celebrated. These are the ways that they met with each other, encouraged each other. And out of that, they were equipped, they were filled up to bubbling over with the love and the good deeds. Kind of like that food thing. So good, right? Enough food for a family, enough food for the caregivers. The love and the good deeds touching each other. And that same theme of plurality is not just found in the book of Acts, but if we rattle on through to Revelation, just at the beginning of how each of those letters begins, we get this kind of stuff happening. To all in Rome. Not just to my great uncle who was the head librarian at the Vatican, just to him, to all, there's a whole ton of people there, to the churches plural of Galatia, to the saints in Ephesus, to all the saints in Christ at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Are you kind of getting this plurality thing? To the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, to the church of the Thessalonians, to Philemon, our brother, beloved fellow worker, to Aphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets at your house, James, to the 12 tribes of the dispersion, Peter, we're kind of getting it right, to the exiles of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, Jude, to those who are loved by God the Father and kept in Jesus, John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. There's a sweep right through to Revelation. This together, meeting together for the purpose of spurring each other on. So this theme is not a little bubblet theme. It is an all-embracing theme of the New Testament. Again and again as we sweep across these New Testament greetings, the theme of meeting together, to encourage each other, getting out the big ballpoint pen as you kind of sidle up and hug each other, going, just that little prod, that prompting, hey, I think maybe God is saying to you, how about you give this a nudge? That is the work of the Holy Spirit amongst us, spurring each other on. Okay, let me finish with just two questions before I pray. What meetings do you have this week? Just put them in your head. If you're real lucky, you have none. What meetings are you planning to avoid this week? Give that a wee bit of a think. Hebrews 10 tells us to do far more then abandon those meetings, or simply to passively attend. And here's the one challenge. The challenge is for us to consider, to be active, listening to the Holy Spirit in the meeting, considering, praying for opportunities to spur each other on toward love and good deeds. Now, maybe person to person, but it could be church to church. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, the day is coming when we shall meet you face to face. That day is nearer now than it ever has been. Thank you. Thank you that you do not call me to my own little cloudette in the sky, doing cool stuff for myself for eternity. Thank you that it is the same for each of us. Something bigger than that. How lonely that would be. You are calling us to meet with people from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, at a great banquet together in heaven, to worship you, to serve you, to be with you and each other forever. That great day makes sense of the day we live in now as we meet with others this week. So Lord, help us not to sit back, even worse, form a habit of abandoning each other, but help us to consider the meetings that we have in the days ahead. Show us so clearly, because we are a bit slow sometimes, how we can spur each other on to love and good deeds, even when it might be awkward or painful. I pray this as a blessing over us in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you all.